Radio 1180 WHAF proudly welcomes you to Soundbites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or Star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 10th of April, Anno Domini 2004, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Sound Bites. Dave is moving today, actually. He's moving everything finally over to his new shop at 70 Empire Boulevard. And that's pretty neat. So he's not joining us today, but I hope he's listening in and laughing at all the things we're going to be
lifting boxes about. And sweating and swearing, probably.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right. Well, that's right. If he's listening, it means that he's actually finally in the house and moving things around. So that's pretty neat. We are going to go on without him, and I know it'll be hard, but we're going to go on without him. We'll start with the news, and that's why, by the way, there's no cam today, is because Dave is the cam guy.
Well, the second cam will be up shortly.
Right, and Steve is putting up the second cam. We are on an odd time. I want to apologize to everybody who thinks the show is at 11 o'clock. I'm one of them. I apparently just wrote it down wrong. I'm sure they told me noon, because everybody else thought it was noon. I just wrote down 11, apparently just one of those 60s flashbacks. And that's why I put 11 on the website. And, of course, I upset my wife a little bit by making her come back early from shopping at the market so I could leave early enough to be here in time to sit around for an hour.
But everyone got to listen to the amazing car show.
That's exactly right. And the car show is great. So there's no downside, really. We're on until 1. And then, yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's America's pastime. Baseball will be on. The Yankees, the incredible Yankees, will be on, and that's kind of exciting. Oh, so Steve's got his camera pointing at us.
Yeah, the Red Wings home opener today, too.
That's exactly right. And so you've got, it's just a day full of baseball. A friend of mine is a baseball fanatic. There was one day last week or the week before when there were like 9 games on at once, and he had his TiVo all set up, and he was recording some on the radio and playing others. And,
yep.
You know, the Major League Baseball, MLB, their website, you can actually buy a subscription to all the games. They'll stream all the games to you.
Don't there like 160 games a day?
Yeah. And you can do that. I mean, you can actually get a package where you get all the games. So you can sit there one after the other and play them and play them and play them.
See, I've been waiting for years to find a VCR that can record the entire spectrum and let me tune it while I'm watching. then I don't need to have 17 VCRs at home.
Right, right.
Even a TiVo can only record one thing while you're watching one thing, so that's only 2 things.
Okay, now here's how you do that, and I'll tell you, there's an actual way to do that. There is a thing called MythTV, MythTV.org, and it's a Linux distribution. You stick it on your PC, on a PC, and it turns it into a PVR, personal video recorder.
Yep, there's several of those. The iTV is a big one for the Mac.
This one will let you have multiple video cards and record multiple streams.
Nice.
So you can buy a system with, say, 8 slots, stick 8 cards in it, and record 8 channels at once.
Nice.
So it's a pretty good deal. That's at mythtv.org, mythtv.org. It's a Linux distribution for those of you who are into Linux. So now you can pick up a machine somewhere and throw this thing on it. Now, you do have to have a pretty beefy box and or all hardware decoders in order to do 8 at once, but it's certainly doable. And we're going to go to the news, and we'll start. I'll start with the news. How do you like that? I'm starting with the news today.
Wow.
We're going to talk about this.
That's a sure way to get yourself in.
That's exactly right. well, you were typing at it, and it actually looks semi-official, so I thought I'd go first. Google, and this is actually our poll for the week. We'll take a look at that in a little while. But Google is starting their own email service called Gmail. And they're giving you, it's free, and it's a gigabyte of disk space. A gigabyte of disk space. Now, that's great, a free gig of disk space. You'll never have to change your email address again. You'll never have to delete your email. This is both good and bad. And what makes it bad is that your mail is going to be searchable, apparently. And even when you delete your email, it's not going to be deleted because it's cached by Google. And in addition, when they show your email to somebody in a search, they'll add ads to it. So people are getting a little porked off.
Just a little.
So it's kind of interesting.
There are already petitions running around the net to prevent them from doing it.
Yeah, Privacy International says Gmail violates European privacy laws. The group has offices in Britain and in the United States. Consumers should be aware that there is a vast violation of European law, blah, blah, blah. Bits of Freedom, another privacy interest group based in the Netherlands, is against it. It's just people are kind of up in arms about that. And that relates to our poll of the week, which we'll take a look at in just a little bit. Steve, what do you got to say for yourself?
Well, we had a really interesting and I find very, very annoying virus issue in the Mac community. Antivirus software company, Intego, basically wrote a virus for Mac OS X and
Excellent.
Said, oh, hey, here you can write viruses for OS X.
Nice.
And so we're all...
And oh, by the way, we can block them now.
Right, we can block them if you buy our software. Semantic is basically saying it's stupid, sort of. I'm paraphrasing. It's a proof of concept virus. And it's nothing new to the PC world. Windows will hide the extension of a file. So if you name something like virus.jpg.exe, Windows hides the .exe. Everyone thinks it's a JPEG graphic file and opens it.
Right.
But it's really an .exe, so it runs and infects yourself.
Right.
So this proof of concept virus that they're calling mp3virus.gen or mp3concept basically hides inside an mp3 file. Part of an MP3 file is the ID tags that in addition to the actual music itself, give you the author and the album and the bit rate and all that text information you see about an MP3 file in your MP3 player. Well, that code can also contain a Trojan horse virus. So when you open the MP3 file, it can execute as an application. And it's the same sort of thing. If you name an icon .mp3 on the Mac, it's going to look like an MP3 file, and iTunes is going to try to open it. But if then you hide, you know, a .exe or .app it is on the Mac for application, it's actually an application and is going to run and execute. So it's been really, really annoying, and there's a lot of furor on the net and fervor typing back and forth. You know, some people are reporting, well, yeah, see, the Mac is vulnerable. And we never said it wasn't. It's just harder to write a virus for the Mac because of all the security built into Unix and built into the Mac OS to begin with. So it's basically very, very annoying. And Apple is responding as well, and they're aware of the issue. And see, their quote was, "While no operating system can be completely secure from all threats, Apple has an excellent track record of identifying and rapidly correcting potential vulnerabilities." And that's sort of what's got me so upset is it's been very common in the Unix community that whoever finds a problem with whatever flavor of Unix they're running usually fixes it themselves.
Right.
And then posts that fix to the net so everybody else can fix it.
Right.
Well, Intego didn't do that. They said, here's a virus, and here's the code, and here's how to write it, and okay, go ahead.
Bye-bye now.
Yeah. And, oh, yeah, if you buy our product, it will fix it and prevent it from coming in. So Symantec and McAfee are going to have updates to their antivirus definitions shortly to block this type of thing. But it's just the wrong way to have gone about doing it. And a lot of us are upset that an antivirus company wrote a virus, presumably just to show that it could be done and to warn people, but to sell their product. In the bottom line, it's very, very annoying.
Nice. Well, welcome to the club.
Yeah,
that's all I really have to say.
Well, we have one. You have 60,000.
Right. Well, you have one this week. Wait till next week. Now,
yeah.
Now that somebody's done it. Microsoft. As you all know, Microsoft is bringing out a product, a new version of their operating system called, at least codenamed Longhorn. It looks now like. Longhorn, which has been delayed at least twice that I can think of, will not be out until 2006, possibly by the middle of 2006. And in order to actually get it out, they're taking out all of the cool stuff. They're pulling back on a couple of features they were planning to have. One of them was the file system, the way information is stored on the hard drive. The goal had originally been to change the way files relate to one another. So, for example, you can find documents going toward each other, and if you wanted documents or email or photos or that sort of thing, it would be easy, for example, let's say you've got somebody's digital photo, and you bring it up. Then all of a sudden, you can also find the email from them, you know, or documents that you wrote to them. It's an enormous undertaking. Unfortunately, they've kind of curbed themselves on that a little bit. They're gonna basically pull that out. They were planning originally to put out an interim version of Windows called Oasis. Codenamed Oasis.
Is that what happened with ME? They couldn't get 2000 out and no one bought it, so they wrote ME?
Right, well, unfortunately, that's gone now. There will be Service Pack 2 for Windows XP, and it's mostly going to be security. It's basically when it first launches, it will encourage users to sign up for automatic updates of Windows. You'll be giving them information about yourself, so you can sign up for stuff. And that will... then you'll know you have the most secure version installed. There's going to be a panel that lets you monitor your firewall and your updates and your virus protection. When somebody opens up a port, Springboard, it's codenamed Springboard, will alert you that that's been done. So it should be interesting. It should be interesting. Microsoft has needed to do something, frankly, for security for a long time, and I'm actually glad to see they're doing that. And just one quick thing before we move on, I have to tell you there's a great new product out. There's a company called Cell Block, and they have the Cell Block Technologies, Fairfax, Virginia. They have a transmitter the size of a smoke detector that relays no service signals to cell phones, so it blocks them from making phone calls. So The idea is that theaters and movie houses and will buy this.
Churches
will buy this so that there is no more annoying cell phone in the middle of the movie. We took my daughter to see a movie. Yeah, yes, right. Make sure your phone is off. Mine is definitely off, or at least on vibrate. We took my daughter to see Cheaper by the Dozen, and some girl sitting behind us took 3 phone calls during the course of the movie. Chatting with, yeah, I'm at the movies right now. There was a point at which I wanted to turn around, grab her cell phone, and smash it.
Well, there's commercials they're running in some of the theaters I've seen where that guy's doing that in the middle of the movie, and the newly installed ejection seat ejects him, and everyone claps. And
I would love that. I would love that. And one last thing, a brand new vulnerability in Internet Explorer. Yes, if you're using Internet Explorer, there's a new cross-domain scripting vulnerability. There is no patch for it. This might be the time to take a look at Firefox. There is a new exploit out there and no patch for it. So if you're using Internet Explorer, be very afraid. And now we have online a very special guest, Mr. Dave Enright, ladies and gentlemen. Dave, how are you?
Good. We're over here at the Ridge Road East U-Haul. Finally got the truck just unloaded. We've been going at it since 7 o'clock this morning. So, but we're done. And just want to let folks know there's a couple new printers. HP just announced a couple new printers that are coming out, low-end for the small business folks, which I'll have more details on next week. Also want to remind folks that we've got our special guest calling in next week.
Right.
That with confusion.
This was the guy I was confused about 2 weeks ago. His name is Christopher S.
Yep.
Tresco from the MIT Economics Department. He was a system administrator there and was alleged to have been piracy, yep. Involved in piracy, and he'll be on next week.
So folks can look forward to that. One other question though for you, Nick.
Yeah.
Do you have my coffee?
You know what? Are you going to be at the shop later today?
I'm going to be there all day.
Because we're going to Tenebrae this evening, it being a Holy Saturday, and my daughter is reading. So before that, we'll stop by and drop it off.
Yeah, stop by and see it.
Yeah.
And, the wonderful coffee from the Flower City Coffee
From the Flower City Coffee Company, year-round at the public market, whether I want to be... rain or shine.
Okay, guys, I'll see you guys next week. You take it easy.
Yeah, tell Lori I said you can put your feet up now for a little while.
All right, thanks.
Yeah. He's been moving into his new shop at 70 Empire Boulevard, and it's going to be interesting to see the new place when it's all done and put together. But I guess he's in there completely and officially right now. So if you want your stuff done by Dave, that's where you go. But he hasn't had the grand opening yet. I suppose that'll wait until everything is all cleaned up and cleared up.
And we're getting ready to have our grand opening at our new store.
I've been there.
439 Monroe Avenue. A week after next.
This is the Jesse Group.
Mac Ave on
Mac
Monroe Ave
on
by
Monroe
Jesse
Ave.
Group. The week of the 19th. We're having Adobe coming in, showing off some of their new products, and Apple coming in, and Xerox coming in. We just installed one of Xerox's new high-end graphic laser printers, a tabloid color laser, 35 pages a minute, the 5 paper trays, duplexer built in, all the bells and whistles, and only $8,000. But
that all?
That, you know, 10 years ago, that printer was $50,000.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, probably $100,000 10 years ago.
Yeah, right.
So more information will be on our website at mac-av.com or at jessegroup.com.
Cool. And the webcam is up and working.
Well, not right now because I have it here.
Oh, yeah. Okay, right.
So whatever the last picture it took was is on the way.
We're going to move on to the phones now.
Well, there's the last picture it took.
Oh, nice. And it's showing that the store is quiet at the moment.
We are open Saturdays from 12 to 3. That was one of the big requests we got from average folk. Businesses are running 9 to 5, but, you know, normal people need to go to the shopping for computers after work.
Well, yes.
And on Saturdays.
Sure, there's no. I mean, it's silly to have.
It's a different market we're boring us. We're moving into more retail consumerism rather than corporate sales.
Right. Yeah, but this is the time to get. So if you're out on a Saturday afternoon and you're Mac shopping or even just looking for any sort of cool stuff, you owe it to yourself. Head out to Mac. Yeah, what's the address again?
It's 439 Monroe Avenue at Averill.
At Averill, across the street from
McDonald's.
McDonald's, actually, yes. Yes. All right. Now we're going to go to the phones, and we're going to reach out all the way to PA and speak to David in Pennsylvania. Welcome, David.
Greetings, gentlemen, from the Southlands.
Yes.
A couple of quick questions for you revolving around Windows 2000. First question, I'm interested in Windows 2000 because it has the capability of dealing with dual processor machines. And my question is this. When you're running Windows 2000 with a machine which has space for dual processors. Suppose you load the operating system with both processors in, and then at a later time you remove one. Do you have to reload the operating system, or is there a mechanism within Windows 2000 which can recognize only one processor is present, whereas two were present previously, and just say, yeah, okay, I can deal with that?
No. Yeah, you do have to reload the operating system.
Oh, great.
The same thing is true of XP.
So when you go from one to two, it's also...
You also have to reload the operating system.
Okay, there's a whole different ball game depending on how many processors are in there, huh?
Right. It's a whole different...
Okay, second part of... I appreciate that. Didn't know that. Second part of the question. I know that the... Are you guys still there?
Yeah, are you?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
I know that Windows XP Pro also can deal with dual processors, whereas the Home Edition cannot. What would be the... Could you kind of compare and contrast Windows 2000 versus Windows XP Pro? What do I get by going over to XP Pro?
A different front end. Any other questions? Really, that's
well, yeah,
the major difference. The 2000
major difference. Is NT5 and XP is NT5.5.
Yeah. The underlying operating system is identical in 2000 and XP. What's really different is the front end. There are a couple of tiny little differences, but the major difference is really the graphical interface.
I find the
if you don't like that, you can set it to classic, and then you're actually running 2000.
I find the security settings to be a little easier to do in XP than 2000.
Yes, things are a little easier to do, and that's all due to the front end, but it doesn't do anything different.
When you say the front end, you mean the GUI?
Yeah.
Okay, I got it. I'm not as hip as you guys are on this stuff.
Well, sorry, that's, we tend to use the shortcuts, usually, and you're absolutely right. But
I'm grateful for your help. Thank you so much.
It's our pleasure. Thank you very much. We're going to take a quick break now, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and Mina Francesco on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
Listen, all Dave Enright and Steve Ray. And this is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linson. I keep waiting to see. And I'm Dave Enright. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. You're not there.
When I wait and let the time go by for Dave to say his name, Nick yells at me.
Yeah.
Because it's that rhythm. It just it throws the whole rhythm of the show off.
We're losing the rhythm. All right, we're going to be back to the phones in just a couple of minutes, but just for a moment, we are on a shortened show. I want to talk quickly about what we do on our website. Every week we have a poll. Last week's poll was, have you ever gambled online? Our friend Bob gave me that idea, and we got 501 of you. I want to thank each and every one of you. That ties it for number 5 on the all-time hit list. And out of those 501 votes, 96% of you say, no, you have never gambled online.
At least with money.
At least with money. Well, several people said that in the opinions, which was pretty funny, actually. So there's a bunch of that. I'll tell you about the opinions in a second. This week's poll is about Google and their Gmail. And the question is, how do you feel about companies inserting ads into your email? The choices are, doesn't bother me at all, makes my blood boil, and what's my cut? So far, we have 80 votes, and number one is makes my blood boil, followed by what's my cut? And only 4 of you are not bothered at all by somebody inserting ads into your email. Once you're done registering your opinion here, please see the little yellow box underneath, and that lets you stop over to my website, AskNick.com. That's AskNick.com. And you... Thank you! That's AskNick.com. I love it! I love it! And you can leave an opinion. So far, we've got 9 people who've left an opinion. So far, none of them seem to have anything to do with the question. But that's all right. I'm sure they will at some later point. So please join us there and then join us in the polls and all the other fun stuff we do. But we're back to the phones now, and we're talking to Lee in Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Lee. What's your question?
I have a Dell Inspiron 5100 laptop.
Sure.
It's a Pentium 4, 2.4 gigahertz, 512 megs of memory. I run the Tango on it. Comes up almost clean every time. When I say almost clean, when I run a SpyBot, it comes up with Hitbox and My Search.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it keeps freezing. And I turned it on here just before I called you. I just turned it on, left the desktop, and I can see something's running on the drive, and it's just sitting here.
What do you have for a connection to the internet?
It's a wireless.
Okay. And when SpyBot ran Hitbox and MySearch, did it
delete them?
Did you?
Yeah. If I run it, it'll delete them.
And then they come back.
But my search comes back right away, and Hitbox comes back probably every other day or every third day.
Yeah, you must be going back to the web page that reloads it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're using Internet Explorer, of course.
Well, it's my daughter's machine. I put Mozilla on it for her, but it's still freezing with Mozilla. I told her to try Mozilla for a couple days, and she said it still freezes with Mozilla.
Yeah, well, once you've got it, yes.
It's still coming back, so.
Okay, here's what you need to do. For my search, you want to go to www.free-web-browsers.com. Don't worry, Steve's going to put this on the website, /support/remove-mysearch.shtml. And Steve's going to put that on the website. And it will talk to you about how to get rid of my search, also my search bar, my way speed bar. It's the same thing with about 100 different things. And it's a product, it's actually a product called No Adware that will automatically do that for you. So you really want to worry. It's a very tough thing to get rid of those.
And a lot of one thing that might help is to do the updates for both Adware and SpyBot, and then reboot into safe mode and run them.
Yeah,
I've done that.
Yeah, and but it's hard to get rid of some of this stuff because it's in the registry, even when you've run Adware and SpyBot directly. There are a couple of other programs that a few people have written to us about adding to the security Tango, and I haven't had a chance to check them yet, and I've completely lost the sheet of paper that told me about them, but I'm looking for it right now. I've got hundreds of sheets of paper here. Oh, look at that. Block the ringtone. I'm sorry I'm taking up all your time while looking for this, but somebody sent me an email, and I'm looking for the email. And, of course, I'm not going to find it now. It'll come to my hand immediately after hanging up. But if I find it during the course of the show or even afterwards, we'll put it up on the web. There are a couple of other things that I'll check. I haven't checked them out yet, but I will add them to the Security Tango once I've had a chance to check them out, and we'll see if they come out. Spyware Blaster and Spyware Guard. I don't know where they are because I haven't got that yet, but we'll see. Spyware Blaster and Spyware Guard from something.
But you put this up under websites I've heard on the show?
Exactly.
Or... Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, some of the newer spy programs are getting really, really insidiously embedded into Windows and hard to remove.
Yeah, it's going to take a longer tango to get rid of them. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. All of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Listen, contact the guys the old-fashioned way. Use your telephone and dial 222-1180 or the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Welcome back to Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And I want to apologize to everybody who's listening on the stream. I did something interesting to it. We're not streaming the commercials anymore, so we're gonna figure out something to put in their place. Right now you're getting dead air. Don't hang up. We'll be back. But we'll be streaming. And for those of you who want to stream, it's somewhere in the I Heard a website on your show, but it's SBArch. That's short for Soundbites Archive. SBArch.cob.rit.edu:8080. SBArch.cob.rit.edu:8080. And, of course, you don't put that into your web browser. You put that into your streaming media player, such as Winamp or XMMS or iTunes or Windows Media Player. And anything that'll stream in MP3. So we have to figure out, I did it the cheap way, just plug it in and go. Now we're going to have to figure out some way to insert other things in there. I'll eventually turn in my own little studio. But we're back to the phones, and actually Rob can do all that for us because he's good that way. Why do I have to work when he's the professional?
At least that way.
But yet I was informed during my absence last week that Hannah's prettier than I am, which is fine. That's fine. And they'd rather look at her than me. Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm trying not to look at you at all. But it's, no.
That's fine. No, I heard the people were saying that, you know, no problem. They'd much rather have Hannah look at on the webcam. That's fine.
That's right. But we have,
That's why the webcam's facing the other way today, I see.
Right. That's right. Well, because Dave's not here. He didn't bring the webcam for us. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, hello. I noticed that Rob has his own cards now.
Oh, boy.
He's listed as the Midday Show and Soundbites producer for Wham 1180. I believe this is in the wrong order, but I'm sure no one else does. So he's got his own little card.
Where'd
here.
Where'd you pull that from?
I have my sources.
Okay. You got it on my desk.
He took it off the desk, and I took it from him.
That's
so
fine.
You'll have to get one for yourself, Steve.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I'll let them know that it's in the wrong order there.
Would you please, for heaven's sake?
It,
I mean, what's important? The Midday Show that's on 5 days a week and is a huge audience for you or us 1 day a week? But that's all right. We're back to the phones now with Brian from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Brian. What's your question?
Hi, Nick. I'm a first-time caller.
Welcome.
I enjoyed your show for years, though.
Thank you.
I'm trying to install Norton's disk, And every time I try and install it, it says setup has detected that a previous install uninstall has been completed or requires a restart. Please restart your computer and launch a setup again. I'm running Windows 98 Second Edition. I've restarted many times. I just can't get it to click. Is there anything you can think of?
Do you remember what the last thing you installed was?
Well, the last thing was probably a Norton's. I probably uninstalled it because I couldn't get this one to install. I did uninstall a Norton's.
Yeah, it sounds like some installation didn't finish, and Windows thinks it hasn't finished yet, so it won't run another one.
Right, right. And here's the problem is there's probably a registry entry somewhere that's causing this to happen. Do you have an older version of the product?
I got the original Norton's that I was running. See, the problem I started with a Tangle thing because I uninstalled it and reinstalled it. Then the virus definition date was wrong, and then I could never get it right. So I just bought a new one.
You may need to go to the Symantec website and download the manual remove program that removes all traces of any previous versions to let you install the new version. It depends on whether it's the Symantec installer that Windows is seeing or some other install.
Right, but you can start with the manual and...
I think that's in the fact list already. Let me make sure.
But one way or the other, we'll get it up in the list of shows from things from a previous show. And that's what you need to do is to use the manual Norton unremover. Or, no, not unremover. That would be an installer. Yeah. An unremover would be an installer.
Right.
Yeah.
An uninstaller.
So, manual remover.
But thank you.
Well, I need a disk for that at all? Or
no, it's a download from Symantec's website.
Oh, okay, manual remover.
And Steve's going to look and see if that's in there, and if it's not, we'll get it up on the website shortly.
So it'll look like it'll say Norton's manual remover or Norton's antivirus.
Something along that line, and we'll let you know what it is as soon as Steve finds it.
Oh, I see.
Okie doke.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. Could we possibly be more confused today? Our next caller is Jim from Syracuse, New York.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I got an interesting question for you. Something just happened with my system. I'm running XP Home.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't installed anything new that I was aware of.
Uh-huh.
But yesterday I did a... hot sync with my Palm Pilot, and was going through doing my usual stuff, and I found a folder in my accessories folder for a printer that I used to have, but before the gray matter could kick in, I didn't realize that I never had that printer on this computer. It was for an Lexmark X10 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I clicked on that to see what was going on. And it looked all right, so I went ahead and I said, well, I don't have a Lexmark anymore, and I uninstalled it. Well, it ran this big thing, and then all of a sudden I had no favorites, no contact list in my mailbox, nothing. Everything was gone. I had to spend last night and today reinstalling everything. I was wondering if you heard anything about that.
And it was a Lexmark printer.
Yep. It was located in my accessories folder.
No, I have heard of nothing like that.
When it started installing a lot of stuff, I immediately got suspicious. And I wound up having to put Mozilla back in, the mail programs, all my addresses, all my bookmarks, everything. My whole profile on the system was gone.
That's awfully interesting. We're going to look into this, Jim. I don't have an answer for you.
Okay, and I do run a Tango, so I know it wasn't that.
Right. We'll look into it.
All right.
Thanks. This may be something new we found, but we'll figure it out one way or the other. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Rob Linton. You're right. It's hard to change the rhythm. And me, Nick Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
And you can understand. It's Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we'll take another quick phone call from Jeff from Irondequoit. Welcome, Jeff. What's your question?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Pleasure talking with you guys.
Always a thrill.
I love your show.
Thanks. What's up?
I have a XP Home Edition computer running Outlook Express for my mail, and I was out of town the last 4 or 5 days, and when I come back today, last night I couldn't connect to the server. I rebooted the machine, came up. I was able to connect to the server, downloaded my mail, and but I had no text. I see the mail there. I click on it, and in the preview pane, there's nothing there. And even some of the older messages that I have that had them, there's nothing there either.
If you open up the message itself without the preview pane, what do you see? If you double click on the message and just open it up.
Nothing. I mean, there's an hourglass there, like it's trying to do something, but nothing happens.
What antivirus program are you running?
I just renewed my Norton last week.
And you're sure it's running and it's updated?
I haven't looked at it in the last few days, but before last Friday it was.
I would run the Security Tango.
And there's a rebuild the database command at Microsoft on the Outlook database to try to get that back.
That might be the problem right there. Steve will put that link for rebuilding the Outlook database.
And the other link we mentioned earlier is manually remove Norton Antivirus.
That's already
list.
Out there. You can find that in the alphabetical list. But do that first. Rebuild the database. Steve's going to put that link up on how to do that. Give that a try and let us know. I'm afraid we're done for another week, but you lucky people, you get Yankees baseball next. For Rob Linton, I'm Nick Francesco. We're Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Rochester's most listened